Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Welcome to the program and episode today. Thank you for those who have called in at 646-668-2636. And if you want to join the conversation, you can press one of your keypad. And as always, as a reminder, we are live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can call in and join us. Also, you can listen to the archive of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and get the archive for this show. You can also listen to it on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. So we encourage you to take an opportunity to listen to the program, listen to our past programs. I know the last two we did, we talked about the basic tools that we need in our libraries, so resource tools, Bible studies, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, and we have recommended some other reading material for you. Because again, what we do, we want to do here is Christian talk, is continue to encourage the brothers in their growth, in their walk, in this faith walk. And also, what we do here every week, just for those who may be their first time listening, we come and we discuss and find solutions to the issues that men face, that men of God face. And we always have a scriptural basis for what we're saying, what we're talking about. We encourage you in the Word, because the Word has all the answers that we need. It gives us guidance and direction. It is our blueprint. It is our chalk mark. We compare, we judge ourselves by how well we live in obedience to Christ Jesus and his Word. And that's what we look at. We don't compare ourselves to each other, but we know as men, we have more things in common than we are different. So I just want to continue to encourage you. Amen. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into conversation. For those brothers who don't know, we're going to be talking about Maximize Manhood, chapters 1 and 2. This is a book by Pastor Edward Lewis Cole. He's passed away now, but this is a book. This book is almost, I think it's almost 50 years old. So I remember I read it when I first came to Christ as part of a men's group. And it was very helpful. It was enlightening. Because again, the people who know me know my testimony. I wasn't great necessarily raised in the church. This gave me a framework of what Christian masculinity looks like, and what a man of God looks like, and the answers to some of the issues. Because we're going to touch on some things here. But let me pray, and we're going to get right into the conversation. Father God, we say thank you right now, God. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do, God. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, God. Father, today we pray for elders, pastors, and leaders. Here are those who labor in the ministry behind the scenes, oh God. We pray for those who give their life to serve the people of God, to feed the sheep, Lord God. We thank you for them right now. Father, I pray right now for those in hospital rooms, nursing homes, God, those in jails, behind locked doors, behind prison walls, God, we pray for their souls today, oh God, that your word, oh God, can even penetrate those walls to get into the heart of a man, that his soul might be saved, that he might come to faith in Jesus Christ and believe in who you say you are. So we thank you right now for what you're doing in our lives, God. We ask, we lift up our families, our wives, our children, and grandchildren, continue to set a hedge of protection around them, bless them, draw them unto you to grow in their faith, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to strengthen them and protect them. I pray peace today over this country, God. I pray for the leaders, oh God, those that from the president to the mayors, to the governors, to the state politicians, all those who God has put in authority to govern the people. We're praying for their leadership right now and all the issues that we face in this world today, oh God. And God, most of all, I want to stop and pray for the sinner, for those who don't believe, Lord God. I pray that this would be the day of salvation in their life, that they would hear a word, and their hearts and minds would be transformed. They would repent from their sins and come to faith in you. We thank you for all that you're doing. And continue to bless us, guide us, and direct us, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, amen, brothers. Again, we're going to be talking about the first two chapters of Maximize Manhood by Edward Lewis Cole. And I'm going to give you a quick title for what the two chapters, the first two chapters. The first one is Maximum Sentence, and chapter two is Kept Out of Canaan. So it's a lot here. We're going to give a brief discussion on what was talked about here. Let me begin here. First, let me see here. Pastor Zywalker, can you hear me, sir? Good morning. Good evening. Oh, I got you. Amen.
All right, Deacon. I'm muted, man.
Oh, there you go. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Okay, we good. Sometimes, you know, bro, I think it's me, but it's not me. So I'm going to just, you know. Amen. Amen. Well, so, all right, bro, well, we're talking about Maximizing Manhood by Edward Lewis Cole. And I know we talked earlier in the week. I know you got a copy of the book. You got an opportunity to read over those chapters. But let me, I'm going to open this up with the brothers. I'm going to share something with them. Because these first two chapters, what it's talking about, say again. Uh-oh, I can barely hear. Amen. Well, the first two chapters, he's talking about a scripture, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is verses 6 and 9. I want to read those, and then we're going to go right into the conversation, because you said a lot of things in these two chapters are just about that. Amen?
Keep up.
But let me, for the brothers out there, I'm going to read this real quick, and then we're going to jump right in. Amen? Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 6. The Word of God says, and I'm reading, I got the EVS, English Standard Version Bible. So you might hear something different than King James tonight, but it's the English Standard Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Amen. So this is what the warning against idolatry that he's writing to Paul, and he's using an example of the children of Israel when they were going into Canaan. And these are the things they did through that 40-year journey that some of them didn't make it. These were the sins they were committed. These are called the five basic sins that Israel did while they were in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. So, and what he talked about, these sins, how these sins affect us right now, that keep us from being who God had called us to be, that can keep us from fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for our life, that all God wants, who God wants us to be, why he created us, and who he called us to be once we come to Christ, these five basic sins that we struggle with, lust, idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, and murmuring. So we're going to go through these a little bit from what the book says, and we're going to share some insights Because we have to all search ourselves, search our hearts, search our minds, examine ourselves and where we are. Where are we in these things, in these sins that are keeping us from being the man of God that God has called us to be? Because if these sins, if you submit to Christ and be delivered from these sins, your Christian walk, it'll be a transition. You'll be converted. People will see you different. You'll act different. You think different. But I believe a lot of these that we all struggle with, and we're going to go into a deep dive of them. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press one of your keypad. You can join this conversation, get your input as we go through some of these, and some of what the book, some of what Pastor Cole shared about this in the book. And just for those who just as a commercial, we are here live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and we're going to be going through maximizing manhood. We're going to go through a couple chapters because, again, I say I've read this years ago, and I think it's relevant to what's going on now when we're talking about some of these sins and some of the things. Amen. So, Pastor Watkins, I'm going to start with you, sir. Wherever you want to jump in at. When you reread it or read it again, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, I read this book so long ago, man. It was almost 30 years ago that I read this book. And the thing that jumped out at me then and jumped out at me now is how relevant this particular book still is and how relevant the scripture that is being referenced here still is, that the same issues that the children of Israel had back in the day are the same issues that men today still fight with, and the same issues that men 30 years ago were still fighting with. So that was the one thing that jumped out at me, that these are issues that everybody is dealing with, not just young men, not just old men, not just ancient men who were back in the day, but it's relevant then, it's relevant now, and these are issues that we still are dealing with because we have not yet conquered them, and we still have not yet reached our maximized potential. So that was the one thing that jumped out at me, that this is still relevant. It's still affecting men today. What do you think, sir?
Amen. See, I agree. That's a good place to start because, like you said, 30 years ago, I first read this book in the 90s. I think I first found it around about 97, 95, 96, 97. That's when I first read it. And you're right. And I think the difference, praise God, I think the difference is now, I think I'm in a different place in my walk of faith when I look at these sins and I see what God has done in my life. Because, that's the other thing about this. As we see it, we can see where God has brought us from. The things that we struggle with, the things we participated in, the things we didn't even know were sins, they were just normal. It was just normal for us. That's how we lived. That's what we was doing. That's how we did it. That's how we rolled with it. But when you come to Christ, you start to see some things in your life that's not pleasing to God. And as you study his word, as you stay in fellowship with other men, that's the thing, too, that I wanted to share, because I want to talk about all the time your issues, Christian men, the importance of being a man around other men of God who are striving and pursuing the things of God, that we can hold each other accountable and we can help get brothers delivered from this stuff they were doing that, you know, when you live in a life of sin, you don't know it's sin until you come into the knowledge of it, then trying to break free from it. And that's the biggest thing I've seen here. And some of this is that was a problem with Israel, that they were trying to break through from the life they were living before. And then as they were traveling through the wilderness, there were consequences for their disobedience, and there's consequences for our disobedience. You know, it can destroy our witness. It can bring trouble and testing and trials into our life. But once we are repentant and once our heart is changed, and once we start to believe the things of God and apply the word of God to our life, these things will start to be purged from us and purged out of us, and that we can get to a place where we're living pleasing to God. And not that we're not going to make mistakes, because there's other things that's going to happen in this faith walk, but again, these five basic sins, at some level, we should start to be delivered from them. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to jump right in, brother. We're going to start with number one. These are the big five sins. We're going to start with lust. I guess let's jump right. Let's start in the very first one, lust. Because like you said, 30 years ago and now, and now in the culture, lust is just, it's running rampant because all things, the problem, I'm going to say this and I'm going to come to you, brother. The biggest thing I see now with lust, somehow in this culture, things that used to be taboo are now in the wide open. So lust is prevalent in the culture. Lust is being exposed to a new generation of young men. It's all okay. It's not a big deal. And it's not, well, I'll say this, it's just not taboo anymore. It's not behind closed doors. It's not sneaking into to go here. And it's just so wide open. And it's becoming so normalized. And us as the body of Christ and as a man of God, we have to, I think our biggest challenge is to be able to protect the generation coming up behind us. And so, and what I see, what I'm noticing, it's coming because it's so normalized in the culture, it's affecting young boys at younger ages. What do you say, sir?
Well, first, let's make the distinction here that when we're talking about this particular topic, lust, that we're not just talking about a physical issue or a sexual issue. Lust is more than that. It's about appeasing your selfish appetite. It's about anything that you desire and you want more than anything else. You can have a lust for food. You can have a lust for money. You can have a lust for power. You can have a lust for position. You can have a lust for acclamation. Anything that you desire more than anything else is a lust, and it's a selfish desire. And let me make that specific when we say that, that it's a selfish desire because it's not something that you want to help anybody else with. It's something that you want just because you want it. I don't want money so that I can help my family. I want money so I can say that I'm rich. I don't want cars just to say that I have a car and can drive people around. I want a car because I want a car and I can roll down the avenue and floss a little bit. I don't want sexual things because I'm trying to please somebody else. I want it because I want to please myself. Lust desires to please itself. So when we talk about this, it's not just about physical or sexual. It's more than that. It's about anything that you desire that is specific to you, that it's only for the pleasure of you, and that it's something that you're looking at to gratify your own selfish desires. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree with what you're saying, and the biggest thing about lust is, like you said, it's what you want at the expense of others. So you'll do anything to get what you want, and like you said, it's more than just sexual. It's a lot of things. It is about greed, and you'll do anything to get what you want, no matter how it affects other people. And that's an issue we have now because it's all about me, myself, and I, what I can get. And we don't have compassion. We don't have empathy. We do not, you know, these are the things that we lose in that we're not looking out for one another. I think about, when I thought about this, I was thinking about all the one another's, how we should treat each other. Now, I'm talking about the body of Christ today because I know church folk like to always look at the sinner man. I'm talking about the believers. What are you doing as a believer that you still lusting after, even though you're in the body of Christ, that you will sacrifice, that you will do what you want? You'll do some things, but are you willing to sacrifice to meet the needs of another? Or are you selfish that you want, you'll do something as long as you can get something out of it? And that happens in ministry. That happens within the body of Christ, within the church, or how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And like I said, I've seen it. You know, these kind of things that get into the minds and the hearts of the people in the body of Christ, where there should be unity. So I want to make sure we talk what we talk about here. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about the body of Christ. These are the things that destroy ministries, destroy lives. You know, it's a lot to it. So I don't want to go again. I want to be like, I'm glad you said that. We got off the sexual, and we're not looking outside. We're looking within the body of Christ. Those who confess to be Christians, those who come to meetings that part of our congregation, and this is festering. You know, and whenever you talk, if you talk to pastors, you know, that's something they have to always deal with. This is where a lot of the issues, what do you call that, brother? Church hurt stuff. That's where this, some of this stuff starts, and this is what the enemy does. It's somebody doing something at the expense of somebody else to gratify themselves, and it can manifest itself a lot of ways within the body of Christ. What do you say, sir?
Even more than that, Deke, even more than just gratifying yourself, and like you said, it's at the expense of anybody, of somebody else. The thing that pops to mind now is that because we live in such a selfish society, that everything now is geared toward the fact of satisfying your own selfish desires or your own love. Even to the point where I want to be called a specific thing because this is what I identify as. That's just basically a less for you to want people to call you what you want people to call you. It's that simple, you know? And as the church, we are feeding into it because we are accepting the fact that we are accepting people's pronouns or whatever you want to call it. We are accepting people's issues. We're accepting people for everything that they complain about. And some people are calling it being woke or whatever you want to call it. But most of the time, it's just plain lust. It's just people being upset over the fact that they can't get what they want, when they want it, how they want it, and the way they want it. Church hurts, many church hurts, come from the fact that you wanted things to happen a particular way, and they didn't happen that way. And now you're upset with the church, you're upset with the pastor, you're upset with the ministry, because they didn't cater to your needs, they didn't cater to the things that you wanted them to do. They did it a different way, and now you're upset. You don't want to come back, and you don't want to do it anyway, anymore. But, you know, I always say, you know, if you go to McDonald's and have a bad meal, that doesn't mean you stop going to McDonald's. It just means you don't have that particular meal anymore. But let something happen at church like that, and they not satisfy your need the way you want it to be done, then we're ready to be upset, and we have a church hurt. This is all lust. This is because we are looking to get what we want at the expense of somebody else. We want to be called what we want to be called at the expense of somebody else. We want to have what we want to have at the expense of somebody else. So we have to be careful about this and understand that this happens in the body of Christ. It's happening all over the place, and we have to look out for it and understand what it is when we see it. What do you think, Deke?
Amen, brother. You know, one more thing I want to add, because this also can affect our home life. It can affect our wives. It can affect our children. That what are we sacrificing to get what we want? And this shifts to the next sin. It's called idolatry. And something in the book he talks about for men, that men worship at the shrine of their jobs, at businesses, at recreation, sports, you know, they all these things become idols in their lives. And once you start to worship things as idols other than God, because again, this is taking the place of God, you're more devoted to these things than you are to the things of God. And that's idolatry, because you're putting something in the place of where God belongs that you are committed to. And it starts with lust, then it moves to idolatry. And like I say, we focus on prestige, power, money, us even religion, being popular, our ego. You know, like you said, we want to be called a certain thing, and our ego, because we want to feel we like when we have a title and people continue to use that title, and if they call us outside of our title, we are offended for some reason. You know, and so everybody's, because you're idolizing a position that you should be serving, but then we lift the position and we lord it over folk, and that's a form of idolatry, because we need to be, make sure, remember who I am, remember that God is. Quote unquote, God's put in his position, you have to honor me. So you're making your ministry an idol, you know, and these are the things you're devoted more to that than the things of God. Because I think that's where it starts when we talk about false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, and people that are leading people astray that the Bible warns us about, you know, because they put their ministry as an idol, and they'll do anything to keep that thing going. They worship their ministry more than they worship God, and they're leading people down that path. And that's when we get the cults. That's when we get a lot of things inside the body of Christ. Again, I say, because remember, when we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's talking about what happened to Israel in the wilderness after he brought them out of Egypt, and us as a church, we in the same, some of these same sins are, again, starting to separate the church from the inside. It's not the persecution from the outside, because we should be able to endure that, but from inside is where we feel vulnerable, and this is why I think we have to be on guard against these things of lust and idols in our hearts and within how we treat one another. Again, it's the one another's and how are we treating each other. And is our local congregation, and are we caring for each other? Are we honest with each other? Are we transparent with each other? We get to that point. I mean, you're not going to be transparent with anybody, but you should be transparent with somebody. You know what I mean? And a lot of that is when we're talking about lust and idolatry within the body of Christ. And then I'm talking to my brothers now. You know, we have to check ourselves where we are, how we see things, how we take, how we handle things, how we live, how we talk, how we treat people. It's all can manifest itself in sin, which, again, is the church being attacked from the inside. Amen? What do you say, sir, when we're talking about idolatry?
Well, I don't want to jump ahead too much and start talking about idolatry, because there's a lot of specific things that we can talk about idolatry about. I wanted to stay here a little bit more and talk about lust, because lust is the profound thing that sets you up for idolatry. Lust is so significant in the body of Christ, or in the world in particular, is because it's two parts of the enemy's three-part attack on Christians. And this is a point I wanted to make, that we understand this, because, you know, we talk about it affecting our home. We talk about it affecting our marriages and affecting our ministries. And when we get to idolatry, there's some stuff I'm going to break down there, too, about idolatry. But I wanted to exhaust this thing about lust. It's two parts of the three-prong attack that Satan has for all Christians. What is that three-prong attack? It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So if Satan attacks you, when he comes to tempt you, it's going to be in one of these three areas: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And lust is two-thirds of that particular attack, or that primal attack of the enemy. And we are all susceptible to follow those things, because we see stuff that we like and we want it. We have these desires and urges that we have and we want it. And when we get to that point, then it gets to the point where we don't care about where we get it from. We don't care about how it manifests itself. We care about making sure that we get what we want. And all of us rise to that level of being selfishness. Now, all of us rise to that level of having those selfish desires. Now, when you do that, then it starts to spill over into idolatry. And I'm going to say some stuff when we get over to idolatry. I'm not ready to jump in there yet, but I'm going to say some stuff when we get over to idolatry that's going to make us look twice at the things that we're doing with our own lust. But this thing was so profound that 30 years ago, it helped me to define how I view people and how I view their intentions and how they come at people or come at me or in a particular situation. Knowing that lust desires to get and love desires to give, because lust desires to get at the cost of someone else. Love desires to give at the cost of self. So when you see those two things together, it helps you to be able to recognize how somebody's coming at you. Are they coming at me to get their own selfish desires met? Are they in this particular situation to meet their own desires? Are they stepping up and acknowledging that they want to do this in the church to satisfy their own selfish desires? Or is this driven by love? Is this driven by the fact that they want to do something for somebody else? Is this driven by the fact that they want to help somebody else? And when you look at it in those terms, you begin to see things for what they are. You begin to see situations. You begin to see people. You begin to see intentions and motives because you're looking at it through the eyes of the selfish desires that they have. And in this essence, this helped me as a minister. It helped me as a man. It helped me as a minister. It helped me as a father because it helped me to see motives. It helped me to see my own motives and say, am I doing this for me or am I doing this to help my family? Am I doing this for me or am I doing this because I'm longing to help somebody else? Am I doing this for me or am I trying to be a blessing to somebody else? And if I'm doing it just for me, then I know I need to repent. I need to go back and do my first work again because I've allowed lust to come in and take over the situation. These are the things that we need to make sure that we bring out about lust and make sure that we understand how divisive and invasive love can be or lust can be and how we tell the difference between the two. What do you think, sir?
Amen, brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate the insight you gave because, as you were speaking, I was thinking about that. Why do we do what we do in the ministry, in the body of Christ? Are we doing it for others? That's ministry, to serve others. Are we serving for the love of people and to please God? Or are we serving to be, again, to meet a selfish desire within us? We want to be recognized for the things we do. We want to be, patted on the back. We want to be lifted up. And some of that is that lust, because you feed off of your psyche, feeds off recognition. You need to be patted on the back. And that's why you do things. Are you doing it because of the please God? And because you love and you care for people. And I think that's the foundational of what ministry, what we call it to be. When we serving to be in ministry, to do ministry, do the work of ministry, as scripture says. And, you're right. But again, we all may struggle with this, but we have to come to the place where we recognize it. We repent. We repent from it and we change and we renew our heart. We ask God to forgive us and we get to a place of repentance because we recognize what we're doing is not pleasing to him. And then we change what we're doing. And that's why we have to be able to look at the Word of God, look what the Word of God is saying about how we should be And it gives us the warning signs, like you said, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are things that we battle. These are the things that we battle every day. It doesn't really matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been in the church. These are the things that the enemy can always use to get a foothold, to get a foothold in our lives. So we have to be mindful and be on guard against it. Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christians Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, with Pastor Larry Watkins. And tonight we're talking about those five basic sins. And we're looking at, we're coming out of the book, Maximized Manhood by Edward Cole. We're looking at the first two chapters. And we're focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses. I'm going to say, let me say this for the brothers. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can start at verse number 1 to verse 10. But the focus here that we pulled out these sins were in verses 6 to 9. But I encourage you to read the whole chapter and see what it's saying, because these are the same things that hindered Israel from getting into Canaan to fulfill their full potential, what God had them to call them to be. And these are the same sins we struggle with that can keep us from reaching the full potential that God has for us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother, you ready for idolatry? Are we good?
Well, let me say something here about Canaan, okay, and what Canaan represents in our lives. Canaan in our lives represents that promise that God gave to us. Many of us have been in church, and we've heard the prophet speak, and we've heard the prophecy of God coming to us that says, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to be that, you're going to acquire this, or you heard God say in a dream, or you heard God in minister to your spirit or whatever, that this is what's going to happen. Whatever your it is your Canaan land. And it just means the promise that God has for you, that we have to be able to go through the process to step into the promise that God has for us. And getting into Canaan means that we now have done all of the requirements, we've lived up to everything, and that we're stepping into that promise. Now, what this when we talk about Canaan, Moses came out of the land of Egypt. They came out of Israel, out of bondage, okay? But remember that Canaan was promised to Abraham or to Abram, and was there for Abram, but did not step into it until Joshua. Okay? It was promised to Abram, but it didn't get stepped in until Joshua, which was hundreds of years later, because of all of these issues that they had, these five sins that kept them from stepping into their promise. And I want you and all the men to understand is that we all have our own personal Canaans, our own personal promises that God said, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to be, this is what is set up for you, and this is what you need to step into. And we don't want it to be 900 years or 500 years or even 50 years for us to step into our promise, which means that we now have to accept and look at these five deadly sins and then be willing to overcome them to be able to step into our own Canaan land. This is the promise that we need to be willing to step into. And Dr. Cole was saying this is being maximized in our manhood to step in to the promise that God gave us. What do you think, sir?
Amen. Amen. I agree. And that's where the repentance and obedience comes in, for us to know that God, first of all, we have to get to a place in our salvation knowing that, again, God has a purpose for us, like he said, that Canaan, that promise, is a purpose. But the only way we're going to be able to reach that and fulfill that we will stand before him at the end of our lives and get well done, is repentance and then obedience in this thing. And again, we have to be on guard for the enemy that wants to keep us from getting there, even for our own reason or physically or even in our head. If we think we're not worthy, we sin and we just give up. You know, we become apostates, or it's so much. But that's why we have to be on guard in this world. The Christian faith is not for weaklings, because there's so much that we are able to do with the grace of God and with his guidance and his protection. But we have to be men. We have to be in a place of repentance and a place of obedience to his word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and being in fellowship and be connected with those around us, that we could, that together we can keep each other and hold each other accountable, encourage each other, support each other, and challenge each other to be the man that God has called us to be. So these are the things that we want to encourage you in. And like I said, this book, Maximizing Manhood, it's something I think it needs to be recycled, redistributed or something, because it's just that, you know, it's so much going on, you know, and it's so much now that I believe this book can be helpful. So I know that you can get this book online. You can get it at Amazon. You can go to Christian Men's Network, because that's Pastor Cole's, that's his original ministry. His son and Paul is running it now. And you can go online and go to the website, get it there. But I know you can get it on Amazon. You can get the new edition. You can get the classic edition. It's available. So it's Maximize Manhood by Edward Lewis Cole. And you can find it everywhere. I don't know if it's on Audible. I just go to that right now. I'm going to look it up later. But, you know, the book is out there. And I believe it may be on Audible, so you can listen to the book. You can listen to the Audible of the book. And again, this is about your spiritual growth. This is about where you want to be. This is about how you want to live and where you want to get to the purposes of God. And these are all just, again, that we talked about in our previous shows. These are all tools that come along to help us grow in our faith. You know, the Word of God, the study of the Word of God, being part of ministry, being taught, being taken the word that you're receiving on our sermons, our Bible studies. You know, I look back on my life. Let me say this, we're going to move on, hopefully, to idolatry. But there's so much, I believe, brothers, we have to look at our life and the time we spend on things and see how much time we're spending on the things of God. And I think that will be the biggest shift, or revival, or whatever you want to call it, is if us as men start to value our time and what we're doing with our time, and what are we reading, what are we taking in. I mean, I've heard this preached so much. It's important on what you're taking in to your spirit is what's going to come out. And I think with all these assets and tools and there's so much out there that we're exposed to, that we can get to for our spiritual growth, and are we doing and spending time to do it? And are we encouraging other brothers? See, that's the other thing too. Who are we encouraging in these things? Because I think, just think about this. When we was out in the world, when you was out doing whatever, you wanted to hang around some brothers who were your peers, not someone that you had to drag along that could keep up, you know, and be part of it. We move it together. We're going in the same destination. We're going in the same direction. And this is where we can encourage us in these spiritual things, and we can do more together than we can separately. So we're looking at these five basic sins, and we're going to start idolatry, I think. Let me look at my clock. But we're going to start idolatry, but I encourage you to join us Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. because we're going to go through this, but we're going to get through chapters 1 and 2 in this episode and the next episode. But we're going to let God lead. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead, because it's things that we just want to put into your spirit to get you to start to think about, to consider where you are, where the brothers around you are, and how we can build on these things as build a men's ministry and build a church. And, you know, for pastors, I always say, you know, pastors, if we reach the men, I'll say this. And I'm going to come to you, brother. We're going to start idolatry, no matter what the time. I'm going to get a couple things in about idolatry in this episode. But it's the body of Christ. if we can draw the men in, get the men committed to the things of God, every ministry, I don't care what the size of your ministry or whatever, the ministry will be stronger. Your pastor will be able to fulfill the mission and vision that God has given him for his local congregation. But it's important that the men are engaged and involved. And then we have then, and that's where we, each of us, has to be able to reach another brother, encourage him along the way, encourage him to participate in what's going on in ministry. Because if this is who we are, if we say we love God, we're going to live lives that's obedient to him. And his the will of God should be the desire of all of our hearts. Amen. Bro, are you ready to jump into idolatry for a couple minutes? Well, we're going to continue with our next episode. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. We're doing idolatry. Idolatry, the value system. Well, I'm going to read a little bit from the book, and then I'm going to come to you, brother. Idolatry is the value system that we create in which we esteem something to be more worthy of our devotion than our devotion to God. Again, I said this earlier, power, prestige, education, money, business, popularity, ego, pornography, because, you know, people worship, man, they worry so much out there. But even in that, but we worship at the shrines of businesses and other temples, recreation, sports. I said this a couple episodes again about the time a lot of men and brothers spend in sports with stats and teams and things. I'm just saying, do we spend that much more time in the Word of God and applying the Word of God, living obedient to the Word of God, and sharing the Word of God? That same time that we spend with the stats of your favorite team and your favorite sport, but do you spend equivalent time in the Word of God to be able to still have that infatuation with the Word that you have for your sports team? Go ahead, brother. What do you say about idolatry?
Idolatry, I don't think we realize how dangerous idolatry is. And I wanted us to understand, number one, that each of these five sins builds on the other one. So it's a progression. It's a process that we all go through. So it's a progression. And it's like a spiral that goes downward. So each of these builds on the other one. But idolatry is dangerous. The first commandment God gave to us is that I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I shall have no other gods before me. So that being said, understand that when you are an idolater, you are worshiping something other than God. Whatever it is, if it's, and here's where it gets dangerous. If you are lusting, that means that you are lusting after something, and you have your own selfish desires, and you are willing to go after that thing so hard that you don't worry about God's word or God's plan for you or anything else. You just want to satisfy that desire. You have now made that desire a god in your life. It now becomes an idol. And when you make it an idol and you go after it, you are now worshiping that idol. And you are literally an idolater, which means that you have made this selfish desire your god, and you are worshiping at the temple of this thing. And you've made it a god, and you'll go after it. The dangerous part about this is that once God sees that you have made this a god, God says, I am a jealous God. You'll have no other gods before me. He is now obligated to destroy what you've made a god over him. So if you've made your own physical lust your god, if you've made your own, if you made a woman your god, if you've made your job your god, if you've made whatever it is your god or your own selfish desire and lust after it, then what you're saying is, I've made this my god. Now God is obligated to destroy that thing that you are now running after instead of God. That's idolatry. What do you think, sir?
Amen. I mean, you know, it's funny that you say it because it I mean, sometimes it's simple as that. I mean, I think we all struggle with how we let our recreation and our pleasures and trying to accomplish and achieve slip in. I think it happens slowly. I don't, because like you say, we don't have statues. Well, some of us got statues, but that's another show. But, you know, I think it happens. It happens slowly. And that's the thing we have to be careful about. We can gradually drift off of God. We can gradually move to thinking more things important. Because, again, we're just in the way we are now, that the culture and the way we're living, that we can let other things take our attention. Let me say it like that. And we have to be mindful not to let other things take our attention when it comes to idolatry. That if we had to choose between the things of God and the things of the world, or the things of God and what we wanted to do for our pleasure or recreation, that we would put God in the back burner. We don't have to do this. We don't have to go there. You know that old saying, brother, people say, look at you and say, well, it don't take all that. Sometimes it does take all that. Because God has a plan. God needs, you know, it's so much to it. Because when you get into idolatry, you find yourself out of place. Find yourself not doing what God has called you to do, but you think you're doing good things, but you're not really doing good things. And again, exactly. you your focus, your agenda, your all of that is because you want something else out of it instead of pleasing God. I think that's the biggest thing. You're trying to please something else instead of being devoted and pleasing and living to please Him. You put other things before God. That's the biggest and simplest way I could see it. And that's a struggle. And then we do a lot of other things. You know, sexual desires, drug addiction, all of those things are forms of idolatry. Because even for the unbeliever, they'll spend time on those things and do everything they need to pursue those things, because those are things they do that please them. You know, so idolatry is not a thing. Like I say, it's not us bowing down the statues and praying the trees and all these other things and trinkets. That's what I'm looking for. It's not really about trinkets. It's about the things that's in our life that drive and give us purpose, and give us direction, and give us desire. Because, you know, desire and purpose, pursuit of things, is that's all it is. You're pursuing that thing, whatever it may be, over everything else. And that's what idolatry is. So we have to be mindful. What things are we putting ahead of our family? And then even in that, we can take and put our family ahead of God. We can take and put, I posted something for those who know me on Facebook, I posted something. When does ethnic pride become idolatry and sin? Because the way we are now, I mean, if we look around, if people don't know, I happen to be a black guy. Well, I used to be Negro, I used to be colored, and an African-American I really, really didn't like. So, but we put out ethnic pride. When does that become idolatry to where we're living, doing things disobedient to what the word of God says? You know what I'm saying? Because even in that, we work, because even, you know, I've been around a long time, and we have folk who talk about worshiping and praying to the ancestors and all this other spiritual stuff that's been out there in our culture. I've been seeing it, heard it, you know, seen it, whatever. But those things, that's idolatry. And now even in what we're doing now in this culture, are we choosing, again, who we are ethnically over God's word and how we should live and treat each other? And that can become idolatry, and that's not pleasing to God. What do you say to that, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, man. And I think the Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge. And that means that we don't understand the things that we do, that we're setting ourselves up for failure. you wonder why your business is failing. You wonder why your relationships aren't going well. You wonder why this isn't doing right or that isn't doing right. It's because you set it up to be an idol in your life, and you are now worshiping it, and God is obligated to destroy it. You know, we have to be able to say things. People don't like to hear things said a certain way. And I'm saying it, for the shock value, because I want you to understand how deadly this is. I want you to understand how threatening this is to your life, to your children, to your family, to your home, to your business, to your community, whatever it is. I want you to understand the detriment that you're doing to yourself by putting things above God the way that it should be. And I'm going to say this one, Deacon, I might get in trouble for this one, even football. When we put football before God because you're trying to get out of service in time enough to see the game, now you're making football your God, and God has to destroy it in your life because you put it over him. And all of this is idolatry. It's because you're taking your own selfish need, your desire to get it met, lust, and now you're taking it and put it over God because you don't want to follow the word. You don't want to follow what God has told you to do. You don't want to follow the principles that he set up because he said, don't go after this, don't go after that, don't do it this way, don't do it that way. All you want to do is to get what you want to get, whether it's drinking, alcohol, sex, money, cars, status, power, all of that thing, all of those things, and you're not doing it according to God's word, because God's word says this is the way you should get those things, and this is how you should get these things, but you're not doing it according to God's word. You've now set those things up as idols in your life, and you are now worshiping at the temple of those things, and you are setting yourself up for failure because God is obligated to destroy it. You know, like I said a few episodes ago, there used to be a thing called fire and brimstone preachers, and all they did was say, if you sinned, this is where you were going. If you did this, this is where you were going. And they spoke about lusting and fornication and a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, in some areas that went wrong, but those fire and brimstone preachers are still necessary because we have sugarcoated so much to the point that we are not seeing things for the way they should. And we need to see lust and idolatry and all these other sins for the detriment and the danger that they are. And hence, knowing that you are putting something before God obligates God to destroy it, you have to be careful what you're making idols of, because you can even make an idol of your children and your grandchildren, which means you're setting your grandchildren and your children up for failure, because now that you're worshiping at that temple, God is obligated to destroy it. And you're messing up their particular future.
Amen. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off, bro. You got me with that one. You gave me, you shocked me a little bit. I wasn't cutting you off.
I'm putting things in brass tacks here. So, you know,
amen.
I want to make sure that we understand how dangerous these sins are. It's not just stuff that we flippantly say. You know, we say sin is sin and da da da. No, bro, listen to what happens. What are the consequences when you do this? What are the consequences when this happens? What are the consequences when you do set up, become lusting after an idol, or you go after a selfish desire? What happens then? Okay, so these are the consequences. What do you think, sir?
Amen, brother. You're right. I mean, gentlemen, I encourage you to search the word. Search the word or what the Bible says. What did Peter and Paul write about? Why did he warn the churches, Ephesus, the Galatia, the Corinthians? A lot of our churches we go to are the Corinthian church, but that's a whole other discussion. But you're right. There's consequences for disobedience, just like there's blessings for repentance and obedience. And again, we have to let the word of God judge where you are and how you're living and the things that we're doing. How are we living out the word? Are we living the word obedient? Are we compromising in areas of our life? These are all things that as men of God we have to look at to be husbands and fathers and sons, to be able to lead in the church and in the community and in our homes. We have to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, and to do that, we have to be in the word and be in prayer and be a man of God. And we just have to be able to shift wherever we are. I pray that you would shift and put your focus back on him. And again, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to be talking about some more of this because, like I said, there's five basic sins that cover everything that we could ever do. But we're going to continue in this conversation. Again, we're live on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. If you would like to join us during our recordings during the week, you send me a text. Or you can send me a message on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you receive this, if you receive the link for this show in on your phone and text, just text me back. Let me know if you want to be part of the midweek recording. But we are live on Saturday mornings, and we're talking about lust, idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, and murmuring. And we're gonna get a couple shows out of this. And again, we're starting our discussions from the book Maximize Manhood by Edward Lewis Cole. Amen. And again, you can get it on Audible. I checked Audible. Mm-hmm. It is on Audible. It's on Amazon. It's in ChristianBooks.com. You can get a copy for yourself. And I pray that you would. And I pray you share it with a brother. Because again, when I first read it, it was in the 90s. And they did an updated version, but I've seen the updated version. The updated version is really the same. The only thing I saw different in there was some of the introductions and the forwards. They had some other pastors write the forward for it and things like that. But the content of the book is really the same. Amen. Pastor, again, brother, I appreciate you taking time being on the show on this episode with me. If you would, sir, if you could pray us out, and God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
Amen, Deacon. Thank you for allowing me to come on and to talk and to share with you, thus saith the Lord, and the Word of God. As we're teaching this, you know, I want the men to understand that we're not just preaching at them, we're also preaching to ourselves. We are ministering to ourselves.
Amen.
And correcting our own lives as we go through this so that we understand, so that we can live a life that is pleasing to God's eyesight. So when I'm talking to you about the dangers of things or saying things about the danger of things, I'm saying it to myself as well so that I can hear it and make sure that I adjust my life accordingly and live the way that I should so I can reach my Canaan. And my family can reach their Canaan as well. So please don't take this an offense that we're just getting down on you. No, we're preaching to ourselves as well. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father, how we love you and adore you, how we appreciate you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you are God and besides you there is none other. We thank you, Lord God, that you are teaching us and that you are healing us as you teach us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that this is all a part of the process of sanctification, of cleaning us up, Lord God. First, by letting us understand and giving us knowledge and information. And secondly, Lord God, by allowing us to adjust our lives to the information now that we have received and now understand. Father, help us in doing so, that as we make corrections in our lives, Lord God, that the enemy does not come in and fester and pick at the changes that we have now made. We pray, Lord God, that you would begin to heal us, that you would begin to deliver us and set us free from those areas, Lord God, that are lusts for us and that we have set up as idols, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that we would that you would intervene, Lord God, to the point that if there's anything that we have set up as an idol, Lord God, that we correct it so that you don't have to destroy it. We ask now, Lord God, that you would watch over us as we leave this place. We ask, Lord God, that you bless Deacon Farr for all that he does and all that he pours out to prepare for this particular ministry. Pour back into him, Lord God, a hundredfold for all that he pours out. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you for the word. We thank you for wisdom and understanding. We ask, Lord God, that you would continue to bless us as we are away from you and away from this conversation, Lord God. And we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. We bless you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless.